Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening and welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now show. This is scan number 2557. That's 2557. My name is Carol Levine. I'm Vice President of NASCA. And tonight we're going to have on our show Pastor Deborah Schluck. And she grew up in a military family where her mother was mentally ill and is now a survivor professional. Not her mother, her. Anyway, living in Pensacola, Florida, she's trained in ministry, mental health, working, and substance abuse as a trauma-informed social worker. So she's doing a lot of things and done a lot of things. And so I'm glad to have her on the show. But before I get started, I want to see who the 318 number area code is over here. Hi, this is Carol Levine. Who am I speaking to?
Pamela.
Ah, that's what I thought. Okay. Very good. Okay. I'll put you in there. Pamela's my co-host for tonight. And the pastor and I were speaking a little bit before the show. And I'm putting your name in here. Okay, there we go. And to save. There we go. And so anyway, we were talking about people and how they get into terrible ruts, and especially around this time of the year, and then with the COVID out there and everything. There's just so many things that people have to be concerned about. If you get a sniffle, you start thinking, oh, my God, who was I near? You know what I'm saying? And, it's a very hard time that we're going through right now. But before I do that, I will read the mission statement because this is a child abuse show, we do serve adults here. It says we have a single purpose at NASCA, and that is to address issues related to child abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent and physical abuse, emotional trauma, and neglect. And we do so two different ways. One is educating the public. That's a biggie. Especially related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem. And we already know that. It's a terrible thing. A lot of trafficking going on over here, over there, going back and forth. It's just awful. It doesn't matter whether you're here or there. There's a lot of that. Okay, so offering hope and healing through numerous parts of, or I should say past, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Okay. So that's a little bit of what we do, but what I want to get in here too is two things. Our telephone number is 646-595-2118. If you want to be a part of this discussion tonight, it is 646-595-2118. And also, too, people who are really interested in learning about child abuse, of course, listen to the show. And then we also have Zoom during the week. There's 3 days a week that we have that where people can become a part of that. And then also, too, get involved with the NASCA website. Really sit down, study it, open up links. That's www.nasca.org. That's nasca.org. I use that an awful lot when I speak. Of course, this year was a no-no with what's going on out there. But so many schools and everything are closed. But you get a wealth of information right from our website. So anyone listening who doesn't know too much about our show and you want to learn about our show and also about child abuse and how you can help yourself, you can go to that website, okay? And we do have the contact page. I'm on there. I'm the night owl, and everyone will attest that I'm a night owl. And you can call me. And then also, too, we do offer programs. That's on the front of the website. That's very important. I use it all the time. It's programs. And that's what you offer people. You open it up, and it's more or less self-explanatory. It goes state by state, but we also have some countries that we also deal with. Okay, so that tells you what we're about. We're actually a big organization. We do deal with an awful lot of things. So Pastor Deborah Schleck, you know, I'm glad you're here tonight, and you were speaking about people getting into the rut and not knowing how to get out of the rut. And around this time of the year, maybe you want to go from there. Maybe you'd like to speak.
I was just telling Carol that at Thanksgiving time, all of us seem to be able to think of things we're thankful for and grateful for. We all put them in little posts and we say it. And we're all very thankful. And we remember and we look back over the last year and we all name things. But when Christmas comes, it seems that it's like a fog or a cloud just comes on, especially childhood sexual assault survivors. And it just descends that you're to be depressed. And it's a depressing time. And because you're not with your family. And I was telling Carol that because of my military life that I had, a lot of times you're not near any of your family. And here in Pensacola, we have guys and girls that are away from home. They have to go and they get invited to a family that's here in town, sort of a surrogate family, to have even Christmas. A lot of people spend, like in the military, there are people on duty Christmas night, Christmas day. There's firemen, policemen, sheriffs, people. They're all duty, the ICU, the nurses, the hospitals. They don't get to be with family. They're working, keeping us safe, you know, responding to fires and crimes. And even Bob Hope, you know, he would have Christmas before, and then he'd leave and go be with the troops and then during the war. You know, you weren't at home. Your band of brothers was your family. And it seems that adult survivors get stuck in a rut or something comes, and they don't have a self-talking family meeting with themselves and start maybe doing what they did at Thanksgiving and thinking of things they can be thankful for. They are still alive. There is still hope. They're still breathing. What was so bad, it didn't kill them. Their family may not ever, a lot of their family's gone. It's all broken up. But yet they're still trying to have that idyllic family, maybe from their childhood, and it's not working, so they get depressed. There's people that will be alone on Christmas. And Carol had mentioned, but if you go out and volunteer or you would help somebody else maybe in some way, we've taken people into our home who had no place to live. And they spent Christmas with us. So Christmas is that time where depression comes. Everybody wanting to be happy. It's like a fog comes. You're supposed to be with your families. But a lot of the survivors forget there's lots of people all over the world that they can't be with their families. And they might be in the ICU, as we know. They might be in the hospital. And their family's the nurse. That's right there. And that's it. And so survivors need to do a little self-talk. I was telling Carol that because I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian pastor, King David used to do some things, and he would get depressed. And what that is, that's your soul that's not happy. And he would sit down and have a talk with himself, and he would say, "So, why are you so depressed today? Let's think of some good things and how wonderful God has been and who he is. And let's think of some positive things." And he would have to do that with himself a lot because his family wasn't very nice to him. And he had, you know, he was being tracked to be killed by King Saul. Some of his sons were raping his daughters. They were trying to take over the kingdom. So he had to do self-talk, and I don't think a lot of survivors are used to that at this time. Mm-hmm. Sitting down and saying, what am I thankful for? Okay, all those people that I'd like to be with, they're not here. They're gone. My whole family's messed up, you know. It's not going to get back together. I'm all alone. But really, are you? Some people would just go to church and sit in church all night long just to be in front of a statue. They would do things. They would call support lines. They would call suicide lines. They would, you know, there's a lot out there, and they would do things to try to help themselves. And I think a lot of times, just the average person, you know, Christmas, maybe they don't feel loved or they don't get presents, you know. Is that it? Is that all it's about? Just getting a present? Okay. If we mm-hmm. used to work, you'd have office Christmas parties? Well,
oh, yeah.
I don't work
mm-hmm.
anymore. There's none of that anymore. And, you know, secret Santas, you know, and things like that. Well, that doesn't happen. But now you can volunteer in the community, go buy things for children, abuse kids. Mm-hmm. Most adult survivors are not getting abused anymore. But there are children out there that it is happening to them with COVID, okay? And they could sure use some prayers, or they could use some gifts for Christmas, or bake some cookies and donate it. A lot of people are starting to go, hey, we're going to go out and help the nurses. You know, they had one man, he's dead now. He used to go into the NICU units of hospitals and rock the little babies and sing songs to them.
Yeah.
And
you know, let me stop you there, Deborah. Yeah, let me just stop you for a second. I very much remember hearing that, how they would go into mm-hmm. the hospitals. You know, it's like in the orphanages, too. I'm going to bring Pamela on in just a second. That's Pamela Lockridge. She's a big part of NASCA. And then I have to see who the 111 number is up here. but if you don't give a child that loving support, that hugging, that rocking like you're speaking about, like, say, in an orphanage or whatever, that child is not going to thrive and might very well die. You see, we all need to have that feeling of love. And these people that you're speaking about, they don't have that feeling of love because they're alone, okay? They don't have family. And like you say, they make their way into finding a family one way or another if they're lucky. Okay, let me see who the number is up here, and then I'll get Pamela on. This is Skype. Who am I speaking to?
G'day, Carol.
Oh, hi. How are you doing? Okay, good.
Melting. It's so hot.
You're melting. Okay. Well, it's not terribly cold where I'm at, so I'm not jealous. We're having a hot day for here. But anyway, let me get Pamela on, and then I'll get you back on, and you can listen to the conversation, too, okay? Hold on a second. Okay, Pamela, your mic is open. This is Pamela Lockridge, and she is a big part of NASCA. Pamela, hi.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Yeah. Do you have any comments about what's been said?
Yeah, Pastor Slick, I really appreciate your work and your, you know, your information and things that you're giving out to people. Very happy you're addressing the spirit, soul, and the body. And, you know, I just want to say, like you're saying to people that have called in or are listening, you know, that yes, this is a time of darkness, but it's also a time of light because, you know, we have the Lord who is our hope, and he is light in darkness. And bringing information through NASCA about how we help people, that is light in the darkness. So I'm asking people who have been abused to come to find a way out of their darkness, you know, and find a light, find a support system, you know. There are people that will support them. NAFTA will get behind them and support them and help them find resources in their area. And so I'm asking people to go on the NAFTA website, NAFTA, which stands for the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, NAFTA.org, and do what Carol said. Go onto the contact list and reach out to people. We are here for you.
Yeah, especially Carol. Right. She's up all night for everybody.
I know. Carol knows too. I know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay. You know, I'll just say this quickly, that I've had many jobs in the past. They're all social services and all this, like, county or state. But I always many times worked, as they used to call it, in the graveyard shift. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sort of like, I never really got out of that mode. And so I'm used to working swing shifts and graveyard shifts and being up and down all the time. Is it good for you? No, it's not. But on the other hand, I am used to it. So I am always available. Just don't call me. Like, please don't call me so I can get some sleep in the a.m. or in the p.m., I should say, okay, around that area, like from 7 o'clock on to 2 o'clock. Give me that time, and that's when I'm resting. But anyway, we also have on board Bob Eden, and that's the Skype number here that he used to call in. And you've heard a little bit of the conversation. I don't know if you're ready to make any comments. We're talking about people who get in ruts, and they don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah, I sure do. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, Carol.
All right.
I've been listening, and for me, how can I put it?
Okay.
Yeah, I always tend to get the Christmas blues, like in my own journey to reclaim myself and heal myself from my childhood abuse. In that process, I lost my so-called family because all of my relationships were unreal because, you know, they were all generated from the place I was operating from, which was fear. And so, you know, I am a Christmas orphan, but I've got my two dogs, and I've got some people here that have invited me for Christmas lunch, and we play with their kids and their grandkids. So I do have a surrogate family here. And also on Christmas morning, for me, on your Thursday, but my Friday, I'll be hosting the NASCA Zoom room with the same intention. My theme for the meeting, which I set a few days ago, is Good News Week. You know, all the attendees, I will ask, well, what's your good news? What's been good for you this week? Rather than so easy to focus on the negative. So, yeah. So, and I'm glad to be part of this internet family as well. Okay, I'll shut up now and continue listening. I'll mute myself now, Carol. Thanks.
Okay, go ahead. That's all right. Yes. Well, Pastor, you see, everyone, you know, not everyone, there's so many of us that do go through the blues. I actually had a week of depression, which I didn't share with anyone. I've had it maybe 4 or 5 times in my life. And I was at one time diagnosed, if you want to put it that way, as clinically depressed, okay, because that depression lasted a little bit too long for my liking. And that didn't have anything to do with holidays. That was just me. And I had to learn how to self-talk. I always tell people about self-talk also because we can do terrible damage to ourselves through self-talk. Or we can lift ourselves up, and even if you don't feel like it, maybe you want to sleep for 24 hours or something, whatever it is, because you get into that depressed mode, into that rut, as you call it. I have family. I'm lucky enough to have my children and even great-grandchildren, so I consider myself blessed And none of them been in trouble. God, wow. Okay. That's really a blessing for me. But the point is, we do many times, like Bob just said too, is to focus too much on a negative. But it's a very hard thing for people to focus on positive when they can't really sit and think about what is positive in their life at that time if they're very depressed. And that is a problem.
Okay. One of the things a lot of people don't understand about depression, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Go
okay.
Ahead.
And I usually teach it. It is one, a biological condition. Inside your brain, there's all kinds of chemicals. There's sugar levels. There's hormones. There's a lack of water if you get alcohol in there. There's an ultimate balance of chemicals. When that gets off, it can go very, like you have less of something. And it can have too much of something, like too much sugar, okay? So what happens is when you get what they call clinical depression, sometimes it's hormonal, sometimes it's a chemical imbalance. That's why when you get put on medication, the psychiatrist's saying, hey, the normal chemical balance in the brain, because everybody has moods. We all swing. We saw each day, some days, we get a gut punch, we get a little depressed, the weather, we come back to our middle, we have other days we're happy, we're all swinging all the time, okay, all the time. But when you get stuck, usually there's a chemical imbalance, so the psychiatrist knows that, and he will give you the antidepressant medication to get the chemicals or the hormones in balance. Then from that point, he knows or she knows, now you can think different thoughts. You can think to yourself clearly or talk with somebody, and you're able to restore yourself back to that sort of normal balance. We all have good times, bad times. We're all swinging all day long. Ooh, ooh, a car ran the light. Ooh. Okay? Well, our adrenaline goes up. Then we come back down. And then we go and we get kind of tired or it's gloomy. We're all doing that. And we're all coming and going. So what happens is, that's why, and a lot of people don't understand that there's a chemical imbalance. But the psychiatrist says, let's get that straight. Now we can have conversations. Without you, the balance of the chemicals off, and we can talk clearly. There, people are more open to the therapy or the counseling, and they can look at it a little differently. Sometimes it's just your pure past emotions that you have connected to people, things, and time. Mm-hmm. So when that sort of triggers, you just kick automatically into that feeling without even questioning it. Oh, wait a minute. Why am I feeling odd? And a lot of survivors just give into it. And like what I was saying before is, if you read the Bible, King David, he used to get kind of depressed because he was having people trying to kill him. His family was against him. And he used to tell his soul, where your feelings are, that's where your therapy is done. And he would say, oh, my soul, that would be his spirit part of him, saying, why are you so depressed today? Don't you know we have a great loving God and we should be happy, we're redeemed, we're alive, there's hope, I got to talk. So he did a lot of inner self-talk to himself. He had times, and when you study a lot of great people, whether they were writers or actors, they had deep times of depression. Abraham Lincoln was one of them. But nowadays, they understand that connection between the biological chemical brain and your feelings, your past emotions, what's happened to you. And what happens is sort of like if you get cut or you have some pain. If you take a pain pill, okay, and you're not feeling the pain of the nerves or something, you can calm down and you can think. And what happens is a lot of people don't understand that. Sometimes everybody should be happy. Over in Saudi Arabia now, they're celebrating Christmas. They're allowing Christmas to come in and Christmas decorations and Christmas trees. You should be able to find something, maybe 10 things every day to be thankful for, to be happy about. Hey, you took a big hit as a survivor. Boy, it got you down, flattened you in the street, but you got up. We blew you back up. You're still here. They hadn't won the battle. You took a big hit, and you may have been in the ICU for years, but you're coming out of it. And a lot of survivors don't do that kind of self-talk with themselves. And they give in to the defeatist. Well, we're supposed to be with our families. Who said you had to be? World War II, the only family you had was the guy in the foxhole. You didn't know him. He wasn't your blood family. Mm-hmm. Military, you don't have that. You were spread out all over. You're not with your family. You can't get home for Christmas. Maybe you're standing duty as a policeman, a fireman. You ain't going to be home on Christmas. So it's a active part where people have to start going, wait a minute. I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to talk to myself. I'm going to give some pats on my back. I'm going to think of good things. And I'm going to fight this. So a lot of victims are not fighters anymore. They're just defeated. They like to wallow in it sometimes. They want everybody to join them. And they have to pick, we got to go down there, like you said, call NASCA. And then when they make that phone call, they go, hey, I'm going to grab your hand and I'm going to pull you up and don't you let go. And we're going to do this together and we're going to get you through this. And, the time will pass. Okay, the chemicals will subside. We'll talk some happy talk to you. We'll sing some songs, and we'll get through this. And a lot of that's not done as adults anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Maybe, Carol, you know why. The contact list is there. I don't know the statistics of how many people call. Okay.
I only know how many people call me. I can't answer for everyone else. But I can say this, what you're making a lot of sense. And, the reason why you're making a lot of sense to me is I have Alexa in the kitchen, okay? And if I feel really down or something, I'll start to sing. I'm a singer. I used to sing in New York City. And I sang, and it made me feel better. It was like running. I also used to run a lot. I was a runner in school. And those I found ways to get myself out, of the depressive state. But I would do, as you said, I would sit down. I would sit down, and I would talk to myself. Why am I feeling like this? What is really bothering? What is the core issue? Okay, get a little more technical. What is the core issue of my feeling this way, my depression? And I'd sit and think, and then all of a sudden it would come to me, oh, okay, this is what's bothering me. This is a real problem. And if I couldn't fix it myself, I would make a phone call to someone who's close by to me, who knows me. I have a lot of friends. I can call them, and they'll bring me up. We support each other is what we do. We support each other. I could call someone from NASCAR, too. We support each other. We bring each other up out of wherever we've fallen down into that pit. Because with myself, I'm hypervigilant, and I don't forget, I don't think about the past, but it's like floating around in my brain all the time. And something will trigger me. And, then I'll start having really bad thoughts and not want to live anymore. I think to myself, my God, I've seen enough. I've seen enough. It's got to be better on the other side because I just know I'm going to go to heaven. Okay. That's what I tell myself. But anyway, the point is this. So often people don't know how to get out of that rut that they've gotten into. And yes, that can bring you down. You can start drinking and drugging, cutting. There's just so many things that teenagers, well, let's not just talk about adults. I mean, it starts from the teenage years, especially with the cutting, the anorexia, the bulimia, all those things that, you know, it's actually a way of saying, hey, I need help. I need help. If you see a kid who's cutting a lot, they need help. They're in trouble. If you see mm-hmm. someone who is anorexic, they're in trouble. Or you suspect someone's bulimic and you know that they're running into the bathroom afterwards too, they'll stuff themselves so much with food, so much to you know, fix that feeling of emptiness or whatever it is they're going through. And then they get sick because they've eaten too much. So then they go into the bathroom also and throw up what they've already eaten. There's just so many things, so many red flags if people know them. And that's what's so good about the NASCA website, is because it'll show you, you know, all these red flags. It'll give you the red flags of child abuse and also red flags of other things. So disorders. So, you have post-traumatic stress disorder, and then mm-hmm. you have complex post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And they have said that those of us who have been abused many times suffer the same way. And I'm going to use the military as someone who's out maybe in the front line. And they're not used to killing. And yet because they're in the service at that time, they have to serve their country. And they have to behave in such a way. And when they come back home, they're suffering from PTSD or maybe even complex PTSD. Which, of course, mm-hmm. is time after time after time after time. Let me bring on Pamela, because we haven't heard from her. Pamela, your mic is open. Go ahead. Do you have anything you'd like to add to this or ask the pastor a question?
Well, you know, dealing with our loss of our sexual innocence, you know, around this period of time when, you know, we think of our families. I mean, that's just what we do, you know. Mm-hmm. And even though, no matter where we are on our healing journey, you know, like me, I'm totally on the other side of my healing. And holidays don't affect me, but I can think of others who haven't got on that side of their healing yet. And what helped me get on to my healing was that I recognized before my healing is that I was grieving the loss of my sexual innocence. And I think a lot of people get stuck when they don't grieve that. And so what I did was I ended up taking the stages of death and dying from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross,
uh-huh.
the denial, mm-hmm. depression, the
anger,
bargaining, and acceptance. Mm-hmm. And then I added three more, closure, striving, and thriving. And I actually took myself through the grieving process. And I think that people would look at this, you know, during the Christmas season, if they're down or depressed or something like that, you know, they could, first of all, don't deny the feelings that you're having because they're real, you know, and kind of take inventory of those feelings, you know, maybe journal them, write them down, you
mm-hmm.
know, and deal with each of them. Don't ignore them, you know, and you know, if there's anger there, you know, face the anger, you know, and get past it. Because, you know, it's not good to stay angry. You know, the word even says don't go to bed until, you know, don't go to bed angry. Because when you wake, I mean, it really causes a lot
mm-hmm.
of pain. And then bargaining, you know, we bargain with our Creator or bargain with ourselves that,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's make a pact here that we're going to do something to get past this. My thing to get past it was I went back to college at the age of 40, and it kept me grounded
mm-hmm.
when I had my mind on something. If you
mm-hmm.
let your mind just float, you know, or let your mind just keep that tape running around in your head about your past, you've got to cut that tape, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer have that tape running around my head. And
mm-hmm.
whereas it was constantly, and it's very disturbing to have that, you know. And so, you know, just go through the grieving process with what you're going through, because it's like you're mourning, you know,
M-O-U-R,
mourning, you know, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, not mourning in the morning, you know. And so, you know, think of yourself as in mourning. You know, and if you feel like you're in a rut, you may be mourning something. You know, just take inventory and see what you may be mourning and deal with it. You know, don't deny it. Deal with it. And stay in reality. Don't escape with drugs and things like that, because when you escape from drugs, you delay your recovery. And you want your recovery. I mean, there's nothing like recovery. And I'm here. I was 63 years old. I was sexually abused from 4 to 18. And then I denied it for up until my 50s. And I started having to deal with it and, you know, wrote my book, got my social work degree. And, you know, yeah. And so, you know, there's things that we can do to heal. And I just want to tell everybody there is hope. And call me. I'm on the contact list. I'm on the contact list at NASCA. My name's Pamela Lockridge. I'm the Alabama ambassador, and you can call me anytime if you need to.
That's great, Pamela. Yeah. I think what a lot of people, like you said, they stay stuck in that survivor victim thinking, and they don't take, you know, like you did, go back to school. Maybe some people need to finish high school or get a trade, and they start using that brain. So that was excellent. That was a wonderful testimony.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what happens is people don't want to work at it, and it is work, okay? It's simple, but it's not easy, okay? The steps are simple. Just stay away from escapism. Through, you know, whatever, because there's many means you can escape this, through drugs, alcohol, promiscuity, you know, just all kinds of things that are destructive, and get on a constructive path.
Mm-hmm. I think what I've discovered, just working with many, many people, is a lot of people don't want that, and I would deal with a lot of suicide, and I would have to ask them one question first before I could help them. Do you want to live? I had to get them to verbally say with their own mouth, I want to live. Now, they didn't know how to do it with all the feelings and, you know, the thoughts, but I had to get them to say, I want to live. Then I could take it from there through prayer and many other things, because they had come in alignment now with life. They didn't know how to do it. They didn't know how to stop thoughts, but they knew what they wanted. And a lot of times in victims of sexual assault, nobody really asked them, what is it that you want from your healing? Okay? They just want to continue to live with those memories and those feelings. And they want everybody to be there with them in it, sort of like in the mud puddle together. But the goal of NASCA is, my job is to, now I'll jump in the pool, the muddy puddle with you, but I'm going to keep one foot out in the dry land, and I'm going to pull you out of there if you want to come.
That's
and I will help, okay? I'm going to hold one foot out on the dry, but I'll get in there with you. And if I have to pick you up verbally in other ways and lift you up, okay, even though you're afraid, all I need you to tell me is I don't want to be here. I don't like this. I want something different, a different life. I don't know how, and you don't expect them to know how to do it, to go through the grieving. They don't have any of that information. And our job at NASCA is to say, take my hand. I'll put you over my shoulder. I will carry. It's like a wounded brother on the battlefield. I'm not going to leave you behind.
Absolutely.
You're a human being. I'm going to throw you over my shoulder, and I'll carry you out of here. Now, you got a long way to go. If you watch that movie Forrest Gump, his friend lost his legs. And he, was it Dan something? And he got depressed, and Forrest Gump came down. They got this shrimping business, and it changed his life. So you sometimes, where you, people are, you need a Forrest Gump that'll throw you over your shoulder. You will carry him out of there, take him to an ICU, an infirmary, wherever, and then you sort of turn them over. You know, we drive people to the emergency room because we're not doctors. We take them there and let those people take over. Now, we're waiting for them when they get through that, you know, hard stuff, and they're in their hands. That's what the psychiatrist, the therapist are. The family's there, but they in deep ICU stuff. And they stay there, you know, in ICU and then the regular hospital till they're discharged. And during that time, they're under that care. And a lot of people, they don't go the distance, you know. And I can get in the mud if I hold, if I keep myself on solid ground, I can help somebody else get out. But if I jump in with both feet and I just kind of sit down on the ground and wallow in the mud with them, and that's all I do is say, I'm so sorry for that. I'm so sorry. And that's all I do. I'm never going to help them out. And then we're just going to be there in the mud puddle together. And so a lot of times the NAFTA contact list are people that are saying, I'll help you out. Call us, okay? Go to the support group that's online. We're here to help you get out of the mess, wherever you are, the depression, the holiday blues, whatever you want to call it, right? And I don't know if a lot of people are taking advantage of NAFTA. Or I was telling Carol, I was on one support group. Every NAFTA contact person needs to go on there. I was on there on a Tuesday, maybe a month ago. There was 62 people on the Zoom. And I'm thinking, if they were on that today, why would they need to come and call in here tonight? They've already had their two-hour something support group. There were 62 people.
That's wonderful.
But you say if the phone system we're using, this phone stuff, if you're only getting 3 or 4 people and they're all the contact people, the leaders, when there's 62 people that show up on one Tuesday, there is something that needs to change the system to reach out to the people that need help, okay? So I don't know. I'm just saying this time of the year, NAFTA could put right on the front page, hey, we're, you know, it could really, on the front page, instead of advertising all the radio shows, have something up there. If you're depressed, call the contact list. Here are the top 10 people. We know it's a hard time. You know, they should have something like that. They could have videos there. And instead of doing all these guest speakers and all, most people, you know, this month is a very depressing time. Mm-hmm. So you could have that on the front page about the contact list.
Right.
And you could have maybe a short, brief little word. If you're having these kind of feelings during these, you know, the Christmas holidays, we know you're depressed. Call us. We're here. Right. Here's the phone numbers, okay? Go to the support group. Here, you know, they could do that knowing people are going through that. There could have been some starting in maybe October. All the contact people need to have training. There should have been Zoom training for all the contact people to deal with holiday depression, how to deal with it when somebody calls you, what is the thing that we need to be aware of with holiday depression, the family blues, Christmas, suicide. We should be, as contact people, being constantly trained.
Hello there.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
One moment here, Pastor. Yes.
Bob is, my cell phone was going off at the same time. He wants to share again. I think that what the pastor is speaking about here is good advice, okay? I've been sitting quiet listening. And if you have a turnout of 62 people on one day, that's very, very good. And I'm glad to hear that,
yes.
You know, that people are responding, say, to the Zoom, all right? This is good. And maybe there are some things that could be, you know, constructively done so that I'm hearing background there. But,
well, the thing, Carol, would be that every contact person, okay, that's
mm-hmm.
on the list or that
mm-hmm.
are here to help people, they need to attend at least one Zoom meeting themselves and see how
mm-hmm.
it's conducted,
mm-hmm.
see how many people come, what are they talking about, how is the hoax dealing with it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that should be a requirement to be on the contact list. Well, they knew
oh,
who
absolutely.
I was, I showed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then, like I said, the contact people should all have been trained, ready, set to go, sent out some PDF files about dealing with holiday blues for sexual
oh, we have
assault.
That.
But
mm-hmm.
see, I didn't
no, that
give anything.
Have.
But
no.
what happens
well,
is
let
those
me, let me,
that
let
are
me
on
just
the,
say, let me just
ahead.
Say something, Pastor. Let me say something. We do have, on if you look at the website, okay,
mm-hmm.
you'll see a whole row starting with programs and then it leads off to other parts. And we do have and we do use, in fact, when I run a show usually, I'll bring forth information from what's right from the NASCA list. It can be about any subject, okay? Like I have right next to me about December being NASCA's Awareness Month for men, and how they didn't get help as a child. And that brings up a whole subject right there, the depression that they go through and how they don't get the same type of help and all this other stuff. That's why these groups and programs are so very important. So we do have a tremendous amount of information for people that we do use and bring forth, you know, from, you know, the NASCA website itself. I do it. I know it. Others do it. They know it. Now, as far as what you're saying is with the contact people, the ones that are on the list, many times they're survivors as long as I and Pamela and Bill. You know, there's many of us who have been survivors for many years and have gone through, you know, attempted suicides, depression, any topic you want to talk about, sexual abuse in itself, what it creates, you know, how it affects your lives. And we have shows like that. We do that. We do that on, you know, especially if we have a Q&A, which is question and answer night. Many times those topics do come up. I think what you're addressing right now with the Zoom, more people, look at the time of the day, too. Now, out in the east here,
mm-hmm.
between 8 and 9:30 p.m., many people, unlike myself, are getting ready to go to bed, okay? So, you know, they don't want to, you know, tune in maybe now. And many times that, too, is drawing people to Zoom because it's in the afternoon or it's in, you know, it has better timing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
yeah,
new, okay? It's
how
new.
How long has it been there? Maybe almost a year now?
Pamela would probably know that better than I. Pamela, how long has that been there?
Zoom?
You know? About 6 months or something? Huh?
It's been there a while. It's been there a while.
It's been there a while.
Okay,
see, I'm not sure. And Bob
is it okay
knows
if I join? Yeah.
Okay, Bobby
is
got
it okay
background.
If I join in this? I'll turn my fan off.
Yeah, turn your fan off so we can hear you.
I've got my fan off and my air conditioning off. And but yeah.
Well, you're just going to have to sweat for a minute. Go ahead.
That's okay. I live in the tropics, and that's what we do.
I know.
But
all right. So you've been a part of Zoom, or you are a part of Zoom.
Yeah.
Maybe you have an answer for that.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a minute. What I would like to do is just to respond to the last sort of 25,
mm-hmm.
30 minutes of what Deborah's been
mm-hmm.
sharing. For me,
mm-hmm.
for me, we are all unique. And I was clinically depressed for over 26 years with weekly bouts of suicidal thoughts. I'd taken every medication under the sun, and every time, every medication I took turned me into another person that I did not like. And so finally one day after, I went back and healed the wounds of my childhood, best work I've ever done. And then one day I sat down with this pain of depression that I was feeling, and suddenly I realized that the pain that I was feeling was just a natural human response to having to live in such a corrupt society as a wage slave. But also I was not living my truth. I was living the life that other people expected of me. So that's where my pain came from. And that's why I call it The Gift of Depression, which is the title of my book, The Gift of Depression, my little scrapbook. And so I got rid of the meds. I got rid of them, went cold turkey. And I went to hell and back two or three times a day for a fortnight out my boat. And then how I healed those wounds, I couldn't think my way through because I've got an amazing intellect. I had to feel my way through. I had to feel all the feelings that I'd bottled up and swallowed during my abusive years and get them all out. So for me, thinking is the language of the mind, but feeling is the language of the soul. And once I learned how to silence my mind, I could finally hear my heart. And that is where I found all my answers, found my solutions. And I've been researching this stuff since 1984. And in all that time, I'm yet to find any psychiatrist or any psychologist that has ever claimed to have cured anybody. So all I say is, we're all unique, and we're all sovereign and all equal. And I'm glad that you have found what works for you, as I have found what works for me. Now, the Zoom things, I love Zoom. It's the next best thing to having the people, you know, face-to-face in front of you, holding hands, gazing into each other's eyes. And I've worked as a counsellor. I run support groups for years over in Fremantle. But not only am I a counsellor, I'm also, well, I went from innocence through victimhood into survival mode through recovery, which was about a 15-year period. And for the last 10 years, I'm out the other side in a place I call contentment. And so that's where I'm coming from. Everybody walks their own road. I don't have anybody's answers. But all I can do is provide a safe arena of acceptance and validation of the whatever that person is going through. Because whatever it is, it's real for them. And so Zoom is great, you know. It's the next best thing. And I like the way the groups that we've got at the moment, you know, these three a week, you get about 10, 12, maybe 14 people there. You've got 90 minutes. So there's a fair chance. Well, I make sure that everybody gets a fair go because that's what it's all about. You know, it's an equitable platform where everybody has. They just put their hand up. They pick up the talking stick. They share what they want to share. We validate their experience, and then they pass the talking stick on. And that, for me, is such a beautiful format because, you know, everybody knows if they come to the Zoom meeting, they're going to get a chance to share. And they don't have to if they don't want to. They can just sit and listen. It's personally down to their own free will. So, yeah. And, my life is awesome. My life is awesome. And I haven't taken any pharmaceuticals for about 12 years. I don't own a pair of shoes. I'm out in nature as much as I can for any ailments. I try and find natural remedies. Even my kitchen sink is out in the sunshine. And there was a kookaburra and a bath in it this morning. So when I do my dishes and put them in the rack, when I wash my dishes and put them in the rack, the sunshine dries them. So I don't use any chemicals, you know, on my dishes. You know, I catch rainwater to drink. So for me, nature is nurture. And I've noticed over my life that the further mankind moves away from nature, the more corrupt our society becomes. Anyway, I'll shut up now because I've got to turn my fans on before I melt. I'll go and take a nice cold shower. Thanks for letting me share, Carol.
All right. Thank you. Okay, thank you for that, Bob. That was good. You know, this is what we're talking about here. You know, it's important that voices all be heard, okay? Now, on the on this show here, we never know how many people are going to call in. Sometimes we can have a large amount of people. Maybe Blog Talk wants to melt. I don't know. I mean, that has happened. And then you have other times when there aren't that many people. Now, you said you saw 62 people. He says between 10 and 15 people. It all depends on the person. But what's more important, I think, is that the issues do get addressed, and we address those issues both places. Don't forget, Bill is the one that has created Zoom and certainly, of course, NASCAR. So what is said over there many times is said over here. As far as the guests that come on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, we make that platform available, you know, for the people to come on and share their story, because people do need to share their story. And believe me, they're tremendously grateful to us for giving that platform. So both are different. Okay, NASCAR is NASCAR, and Zoom, Zoom is Zoom. That's to address, like when you're doing a presentation. Like when I do presentations, you address a large amount of people. And whereas this is more personal in the sense that we do allow Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for people to come on and share their story. And I'm thankful for that. In fact, I did that, and I never left. There you go. I've been here almost 11 years. So they're two different shows is what they are.
That's wonderful, Carol. That's your phone.
Yes. And that's what we do. Yeah, my phone is going off here again. Okay, why don't you say something, Pam, and let me look at this. Yes.
Dr. Schlick.
Go ahead.
Dr. Schlick. Oh, I've been getting requests through Facebook about what are some good books, for healing. Is there a specifically good book that you would promote for healing?
Number one, there's a lot of good books, good testimonies. You heard tonight somebody's written a book. A lot of people have written books about what happened to them. What I like, if you had a certain kind of a childhood abuse, okay?
Okay.
All right, so first you would go, well, it was this kind, or it was from this person. If you probably get out on Google or you go to any bookstore or a library and you ask for biographies, okay, which are true stories of childhood sexual abuse, there's a lot of them out there. And some of them for years and, years past, and some people had different kinds of abuse, like the one with Sybil. She had sexual, but she had other abuse. Some have just all kinds of things. And so sometimes there are books written by therapists, by counselors that have worked with these clients. There's faith-based books that work with different types of it, because there's a lot of wonderful faith-based licensed counselors. There are faith-based.
So, do you happen to have one that you like in particular? That's what I was asking.
Okay. It depends on, like I said, I read everything I could get my hands on. I read stories about people being in the occult and having that kind of abuse, because I was going to be working with those. I read things about children who had family abuse or religious cult abuse. And I went to, I guess, Barnes and Nobles, and I'd go to certain sections, biographies, or I'd ask. And I read just about anything. So there's so many now. NASCAR may have some books. A lot of the guests have written books. Any one of them would be good. And I haven't bought any in a long time. I know just last month or something, one of the ladies who was a host, she wrote a book. I would start with any of those. And it depends on, like I said, if you want faith-based things, sometimes those books are there. You can probably do a lot on Google, faith-based. I would go after biographies. A lot of it's not pretty because most people want to tell their story. So you have to be able to read through their abuse and maybe their read through their legal situations that they went through. And it may be too cheap.
Have you read The Body Keeps the Score?
Have I read what?
The Body Keeps the Score.
No.
Because I keep hearing that title over and over again, and I didn't know if you'd read it.
A lot of people believe from many different professions that a lot of memories are stored in the body. And what happens is once you start studying the body, you're really studying the brain and the brain's chemistries, and you're studying the hormones and the adrenaline and the cortisol, and you're studying memories. And if you understand how the brain works, the biological brain, it stores everything in biochemical, electrical waves, and it's even your memories are stored as digital biochemical things. So people have studied that, and what happens is when the memories come up, a lot of the hormones are released and your body aches. It feels it, so they think. There's people that believe the body stores the memories, the feelings. Then there's other people that believe, you know, you're having what they would call thinking is distorted. Some people would, some in counseling areas, that you're dealing with your feelings to a memory. Okay, so there's a lot that mental, we'll call it the psychological side. Then there's the faith-based side. And so it depends on where you are. If you get into 12-step programs, you're going to deal a lot with Christianity. If you get into grief like the Kubler-Ross, you're going to just be dealing with thoughts and feelings, and you're going to be working through a process. And you're going to be grieving. A lot of the stories, you may have to go slow through the books because sometimes it's pretty graphic. And a lot of people who have written, I don't know if NASCA has on their. I know when they show who's going to be on the radio stations, their guest. A lot of times they have that they're an author of a book. So you could start with all the contact people. You could start with all the books that are recommended. Sometimes it's overwhelming for you depending on where you are. If you're looking for a certain solution or a healing process, I went through, you can go, if you're grieving, there are grief support groups in hospitals. There's the NASCA. If you want peer support, there's groups for that. If you want to study, say, depression, just Google books on depression, order them from Amazon, suicide, and you'll read about the all of it. So sometimes there's a lot of, I'm sure a lot of people who write their books do a lot of research into many different topics. And there's different processes that people use, the journaling. They use, writing down their dreams. There's different therapy modes. Some people believe in going, wrapping yourself up and going back in the womb. Some people do hypnosis to try to bring things out and so you can have them exposed and healed. And there's a lot of, you could go into, just type in psychological something, because how a psychiatrist looks at the problem is biological. A psychologist looks at it a lot of times from a biological viewpoint and a thinking and feeling viewpoint. A social worker, if she's not clinically trained, her thoughts are, if I just get use some better school or clothes or a job or get you busy or something, you'll just get healed. Clinical social workers have a lot more like a psychiatrist. So it depends on the therapy. Some people believe in doing image work. Some people believe in doing hypnosis work and getting into the subconscious. And some
EMDR
people are trained.
Let me say something. Everything that you're speaking about, when I wrote my book, Panic Child,
say
The Howling True Story of Sexual Abuse and Neglect, okay, Panic Child. When I wrote that, it was about, maybe 10 years ago. Actually, it was in another book company first, and they said it was too volatile. And they wanted me to make a trailer, and I gave them $1,400, and they made that trailer. And they said, oops, can't handle this. So then Author House picked me up. The point is this. There was only one other book on Amazon about child abuse. Now, if you go to Amazon and look under child abuse, you will see that there is a plethora out there. There's so many books on child abuse, okay? And then also, too, yes, many of us that come on NASCA have written a book.
Uh-huh.
That's just one of the things that we do. We have workshop books. Those are the type of books that I really like. And, yes, mine was a memoir, and I had to get that out. I did it in 28 days. My book was written in Japanese even, okay? I mean, well, it flew. All right, so here's the point. The point is this. The people that come on to this show and the ones that they all have something to offer. And as far as, like, with books are concerned, many of us have written books, and it all covers psychology. You know, it has all different types of things in it that people can learn from. So that area is covered. And, sure, if you type into your browser books on depression, we'll just use depression since you use that, there's going to be a whole bunch of books that will come up. My book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble both. Barnes & Noble charges too much, so there's only a couple there. Okay, we'll leave it at that. But the point is this. There's a lot of books for recovery out there. But one thing I have found is no matter how many books you read, okay, if you haven't walked the walk, you can't talk the talk. That's number one. And number two, if you come to shows like NASCA or Zoom, it seems to be getting big there, that's good. And Bill is a part of both of those. He's the creator of that. But the point is this, okay? People are addressing issues now. They know where to go. They know they can go to Amazon and find books on, you know, similar to their lives. Or they know that they can even type in their browser if they don't want to deal with Amazon and find books. And now we have Zoom. So we have a lot of things. 10 years ago, it was ridiculous, okay? There wasn't the help out there. There weren't the books out there that people could buy. People didn't want to read it. They didn't want to look at it. We have a long ways to go. We absolutely do. Child abuse still isn't addressed the way that it should be. None of us are happy about that. But right now, we're living in a world where we're just trying to survive, all of us, whether we're child abuse victims or not, you know, or survivors, or thrivers, or activists like myself, okay? So, you know, it's, we are addressing the issues, and there are a lot of psychologists out there, therapists. What I do recommend to people is if you do want to go to and seek therapy to a therapist, make sure that they know about child abuse. Because if you don't, you're going to be wasting your time and their time, and you're not going to get the help that you deserve. And I use the word deserve. Because we have walked the walk so much in our life, okay? And our stories are not the same, but there's a lot of similarities. So there are sections on workbooks, okay? And if you look at NASCA, on the NASCA website, there is an area, too, where people are being used as they used me some years ago. I haven't done it this time. But my book was one that was recommended. We do have a lot of books on NASCA that are recommended people. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is there. That is in place. So we do what we can do. But I think getting back to what we were talking to before, the self-talk, is one thing that we need right now, okay, as far as a depression, because I was a very, very depressed person to the point where I did slice my wrist, okay, and I did want to die and all this other stuff. And I was actually saved through a church who took a look at me and said, "You're a mess," and I said, "Yes, I am." They took me in, and they had counselors there because that prayer group was over 200 people. That's unusual. So people from all walks of life are going to come into a prayer group that's that large. So I consider myself to be very lucky. So, you know, it's what I'm trying to get across here is today it is being addressed. What's not being addressed are the men, although more men are coming forward now, and I'm thankful for that. However, I could do a whole show myself just on the information that I've gotten, you know, through organizations, so the 1in6.org about men. And those are the ones that you're going to see who are going to be beating their families up. They came from backgrounds where it was totally dysfunctional and a lot of alcohol, a lot of drinking, drugging, maybe a lot of sexual abuse, you know, neglect, whatever it is that's happening in that family unit. And they take it out on their children. We do know that 70% of us who have been abused do not abuse sexually. We do not do that. We know that 30% do, okay? So we get fed information from time to time, and when we get that information, we share it with the public so that they, too, will have that information and knowledge. We know a tremendous amount about pedophiles, and we have our organizations like 1-800-4-A-CHILD that people can call if they know of someone being abused down the street. And I'm asking, as the host of the show tonight, and because children are not in school right now, a lot of them are not, and they're in the house of the monsters who are abusing them, and they can't get away. We know that in urban areas, every fourth or fifth house, this has been proven, these are studies that have been taken, that something is going on inside of that house. It can be sexual, physical, mental, emotional, neglect, or all of it. So if you hear something, for God's sake, call that number. It's a national number. I've had them on the show twice. I think maybe three times. If Bill was here, he'd tell you three times, I think. I'm not sure. And it was just a few weeks ago, I had Daphne Young on. I know her, so I've spoken to her. She's been on. So there are organizations, if you don't even want to deal in your local town, is what I'm saying, because people are afraid of retaliation. They'll figure out who made the phone call. You can make that phone call, and they'll help you get the help for that person. Maybe they'll make phone calls. They'll tell you what to do. And it keeps you out. You can remain anonymous. You don't have to give your name. It doesn't have to get sloppy. Okay? So what I'm trying to get across is the fact that we are addressing many, many, many issues today. One thing about NASCA is we're all very dedicated. I wouldn't be here almost 11 years if I wasn't dedicated, believe me. I see it go up and down, and that's just the way organizations are. But I stay, because I believe in working for, you know, the people, for the people, so that they get the help that they do need. And this is what we're about. So on the contact page, those people you're speaking about, most of them, have some sort of background. It can be educational. I've taken many courses, certificates, whole nine yards, or even just a listening ear. A listening ear many times is what someone needs, you know, if you give them a call. Maybe they tried a person on a contact page and they couldn't get through, so they try someone else. And they get someone who's willing to listen, and we know how to lift each other up. That's why I had mentioned so early in the show. is we know how to lift each other up. And that's very, very important. Let me put Pamela back on. She's been quiet for a while. Pamela, go ahead. Is there something you want to add to that? Pamela?
Hello. I'm here.
Are you there?
I muted myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was.
So,
I clicked on the contact. Hello.
Oh,
I clicked
so
on the contact
on the
list on NASA.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
You're there. Oh, okay. And I was looking at what it said. NASA members are willing to get emails as well. So,
you know,
if you can't get through the phone, please email them. And they also have all their Facebook profiles. And some of them have a lot of nonprofits that you can look at. So I just ask people to go to the contact list and look at that and just see how many people are willing, you know, out there to be of help. There's many of them. I don't know. I'm looking. It's probably 50 or so. But utilize this. Don't stay there. Don't stay in your dark corner. You know, come out of the dark corner and reach out to those who are in the light and who have gotten on the other side of healing. And let it pull you to the other side.
Absolutely.
As Dr. Schlett said, let us pull you out of the mire and the muck. Because we can attest that there is hope after child abuse, you know, and that we don't want you to stay. You're not alone anymore. We don't want you to feel alone.
That's right.
So please go to the contact page on NASCA.org. That's what I have to say.
That page is very, very important. I received from women and men, actually, telephone calls. And because of the programs that we do offer, you know, that we have that's made available to us, family, you know, you look at the front of the website there, the NASCA website, and you'll see a list of things. And the very first thing you see is the programs. So there are a lot of programs that might even be very close to the town that you live in that you can go to. And I received not too long ago a phone call from a man from Lawrenceville. In fact, there are two of them now, so the one is newer than the other. In Lawrenceville, New Jersey, which is heading down more southern part of New Jersey, there are programs down there that you can go to. And then they have some that are just for men, and that's not too many, though, I have to say. But these programs are designed in such a way that it's for male and female, okay? Because, look, whether you're a guy or whether you're a woman and you've been abused as a child, the men feel the same way inwardly. This is where, you know, Pamela, you come in, or not Pamela, I'm sorry, Pastor, you come in when we're speaking about the inner child, which is what you were referring to, that inner child that needs to be spoken to. Yes. And so a lot of there's counselors right there in these programs. I don't know if they do it voluntarily or if they're paid or what. I really don't know, but I do know that they're a part of the programs. Or they can give you numbers if they think you really need a therapist, where you need more help, or even a psychiatrist. They provide numbers for people. So if you go on to the programs page of NASCA, look at your state. All you have to do is click on to your state, and because first you'll see the state, United States, and then you see a few other countries that we do deal with. They're English speaking though. I think also there's one that is Spanish also. But the point is, you click on, say, to New Jersey. That's where I'm living now. I'm not from New Jersey, but I'm living in New Jersey. All right. So you click on to New Jersey, and you go down to Oxford, all right, or you go down to Phillipsburg. That's an even better one. Or you go to Morris County. Say you're from Morris County. You go to a town from there. Click on to it. A bigger town, the better it is. You'll find many programs. And you can go to it, and to each one, there might be three or four, and they address different things sometimes, okay? when I say address different things, it might be programs that are basically for, you know, child abuse, and then others are for other groups and so forth. So we do have available for the people. They don't have to be alone anymore. They can call a contact list and work more in a private way that way. Or they can get a hold of the programs, which I always send them to after speaking to them, because I think that's a good idea. All right, I think that's a really good idea. And they can become involved if they're open to it. They have to be open to it too, Pastor, you know, like to go to programs and stuff. They, many times because they are so stuck, they feel bashful about going to the programs. That has happened. But, you know, you work with them, you talk with them from people on the contact list. I tell them to listen to our shows. Now they have Zoom also, which is wonderful. And so people now are getting more help, and that's important. And men are starting to step forward more now, too, and that's important because they're abused. The 1in6.org is a very good website to look up. And, you know, and I've got things here from other different organizations, which I'm not going to get into because it's almost the end of the show. But we're working hard, all of us. You're working hard. NASCA's working hard. NASCA has two parts now because it has Zoom. So this is all very good. And I think that, you know, with the what we were talking about with the depression before, we have more things in this life, yes, to be depressed about because of the COVID. There isn't one continent that hasn't, there isn't one place in our world, according to what I heard today, that hasn't been touched by the COVID. Good God. I mean, this is crazy. So, you know, people are worried about just trying to survive that way and trying to get the best information that they can find. I get many, you know, telephone calls now about the COVID. And I can't tell people anything different than what you know or I know or the guy down the street. We do the best we can with keeping ourselves clean. At one point they said keep the windows open in the house. Well, it's cold over here. And, well, if the air is filled with it, if it's going from state to state, from country to country, and of course it is, we know there's no country now has not been affected by it, according from what I was told today, if this be true. Then why would you open your windows? I keep my windows closed. You know, I walk around with a Lysol can. I don't know. No one has exact answers. And that in itself, yes, can put people depressed. And then with Christmas, which, you know, with the holidays, it can be someone's birthday. It can be whatever it is. It might be a depressive memory that a person might have, maybe because they feel lost about that person. So I always tell these people to, you know, reach out. There's all kinds of books out there, like the pastor was speaking about. And I for one, recommend the workshop books, because at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, if you have a nightmare or something, you can open up the workshop books, and you know, they actually give you tools to work with, and that's very good. Okay, so we do have that. So we have only not that much time left. I think probably only about 5 minutes left. Is there something you'd like to speak about, Pastor?
Well, we haven't spoken about. I think, as you guys have said, it's during these days, both of COVID and the holidays and all the other stresses that are going on, that people do need to use the contact list, make phone calls. If you got to call the, you know, the National Suicide Line, don't sit there by yourselves. Call somebody, getting, because NASCA, you know, most of us will take the calls in the middle of the night and be. It's sort of like you're being proactive in your for yourself. And a lot of people, I guess, just don't want to do that. Some people, I hate to say it, they enjoy being miserable. We saw that a lot. I've seen that they enjoy, they get benefits out of being that, thinking that, being that way. They get a lot of attention. And, you know, they'll suck the life out of you and they'll take up your time with no intentions of really pursuing healing. And so, but the help is there. NASA's got such wonderful, every area that you could think of, books, contacts, support groups, articles to read, people to contact, all kinds of things. So there should be no excuse for somebody not having help at every stage or every level of where, you know, they need to be. They could call somebody and say, yeah, do the workbook, okay? I'll be with you through the phone. But I think a lot of victims like to stay victims, and they like to stay there. And whether they're afraid or they don't think, they're embarrassed to talk about it, most of us will go, hey, you don't have to tell me anything. I've been there, walked that walk. I'm just going to be here with you, and let's talk about the weather, you know, so. And so I'm glad NASCA is there for the people, and they have such a huge variety of help from many different ways and many different people. And it should be easy when somebody is ready to be healed and, you know, step out of the door and come into the light, NASCA, and the family will be there for them. Even during these days and after the holidays. And so I don't think NASCA gets the credit that it probably deserves out there for being there. So I just want to say there is hope, there is light, and there's people in the light at all different areas that anybody can, you know, reach out to. And if they don't, in Christianity, somebody reach down into our darkness. Like Carol, when they call, they're reaching out. You're reaching down. You're grabbing them. You're talking to them. The books are there. The workbooks are there. They just have to have a little glimmer of wanting. Just a little, no, I don't like this anymore. They don't have to know how, because NASCA's got all the hows and the stuff to do it. So that's what I wanted to say.
Well, I agree with you, and I think a part of the reason, because I've seen it, where people stay stuck and they don't want to go any further, sometimes they're very manipulative, okay? They could be into alcohol and drugs, and you know that. They could be into alcohol and drugs, and yet they want people to feel sorry for them, okay? They're comfortable because they want people, they want the attention, they want people to feel sorry for them. And it's about identity, too. Instead of moving forward and becoming someone who's a happy person who doesn't have to live in that destructive mode, they stay in that destructive mode because then they don't have to produce anything because, after all, I'm a survivor. You know, but I'm a victim, you know,
I'm
too.
Disabled.
I'm a victim.
Yep.
Yes.
And like you said, the identity is, well, this is who I am now. And if I give that up and I get healed, then I don't have that. I don't know. What would I say? I can't be a part of the groups anymore. I got nothing to
offer.
You know, I have
community. There is that going. Yeah, I have to talk because it's almost over. But I agree with you on that. But I think it's a smaller amount of people like that. Because more people are coming forward. I can see that in these last 11 years, you know, 10, 11 years, that people are coming forward and they do want help and they are willing to buy books. They are willing to move forward. They want to move forward because, you see, that's healthy. That's healthy. And they don't want to stay sick anymore that way. They want to move forward and become a happy person. I just got the 90-second cue, so I have to end the show. So
okay.
I want to thank Bob for coming on. I certainly want to thank Pamela for being here and helping out. And everyone's feeling alone at times. You know, some of that is normal too. We all have our, you know, times where we don't feel so good about ourselves or whatever. There is some normalcy to that too. But there is help here at NASCA. If you want to give us a call, you know, if you need help, go to the contact list. And all I'm going to say right now is good night, God bless, and Merry Christmas. All right now. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Merry Christmas.
Good night.
Take comfort forward.
Okay.
Talk Radio.